Page Rei Samach Beis. Esbach Lefanav Sichi. That's in this edition. Rei Samach Aleph in the other edition. So see the Samach Aleph and Samach Beis. We're talking about, learning about Zikaron Zichron Alma Da'asi. Yishuv Hadas. These are all very, very essential ingredients to his Baidus. At the end, Mitzvah Hashem, as we get closer to the end of the Sefer, it'd be very kedai for each of us to write, like some of the people already doing it, writing, somebody told me that watches, to write a sikum, and, you know, Aleph Beis Gimel Dal, because there's a lot of material here, but to be able to come into as a part of this prepared. And we still have to, Mitzvah Hashem, make a nice trip, nice outing. Should have done it earlier in the year, but September is very busy, October. But hopefully, after the winter, we can make a class trip to go and to do a little bit practical work. Get some of the chevet to come from if they're nearby. So we're talking about Nagina. At the end last week, we were talking about Nagina. Yiduim etzlenu kamen negunim shahayim alafim es oyudei Hashem b'shas es b'ayduz. You know, different, there are different parts of our Avodas Hashem that have different negunim. It's there are tzaddikim that had, the tzaddikim, for instance, there's a negun, I'm trying to remember, it was the Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch, or Mittler Rebbe, I don't remember which one of the tzaddikim, but I think it was one of the tzaddikim from Lubavitch, where there was a negun, a specific negun for getting dressed. For each, in other words, each stage of the process of getting dressed, there was a certain nigun or a certain tnua of a nagina. Tzaddikim lived with nagunim, and it's not just when you're having like some celebration. It's a way of life, and there are, what he's saying here is that certainly in among wrestlers, there's certainly nagunim for his part of this. but each person is a very, obviously, it's what works for you. But Nagina is a very important part of, is that Yakir? Yeah, I'm English. Good to see you, Yakir. Each person has his own niggin, right? You have your own niggin. But it shouldn't always be the same niggin. I know there's a thing like a go-to niggin, right? That's your niggin. But there's a different niggin for different things that we're doing in our day in life. But a person should have, she says, Nagina is a way to live. That's what we're talking about. There are Nagunim for his Bardus. This Bresla of Tzaddik had a Nagin that a lot of the Chassidim were using. And Rabbi Nosson writes, look at the tefillas, that when a person is zeichet to feel this simcha and this chiyas through his bardus, that will help him to be able to think of alma da'asi, of his tachlis in this world. Was his tachlis, and to be able to continue on with the conversation with Kadosh Baruch Hu, with Simcha, with Gaguim. Was gam yistakel be'enei ha'emes al kol ma she'Hashem Yisbarach masavev imo, and to be able to look with honest eyes at all of the at all that he has in his life, to be able to look at his life in an honest way. The brachas that he has in his life, and things that the challenges that he has in his life, and that he thank Hashem and to beg Hashem for help. The ikkar is when a person lives with his bodhis as a regular part of his life, he begins to think differently and to look differently. He looks at everything in his life as being a remez from Hashem, as Hashem is speaking to him. Since we don't hear from Hashem in the way that people hear from each other, that's not the way that we hear from Hashem. We hear from Hashem in different ways. The remezim of what we're living through, of what we're going through. I've explained many times over the years, there's a very, very great teaching, a deep teaching from Saldik HaKoyin, Schussi Elena, that's found in David Tzadik, but other tzaddikim speak about this. But the pasuk says, "Oznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha," that your ears should hear words that are spoken from behind you. What does that mean, from behind you? It doesn't mean that you should listen to what people are whispering. It doesn't mean, "Oznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha," that your ears should hear things that are spoken from behind you. So Tzadik explains, he's talking there about the union of Baskol. Chazal told us that even though we don't have Nevuah anymore, Adayim Yishtamshu B'Baskol, we still have a thing called Baskol. And there's a very big discussion, what is exactly meant by a Baskol? What is a Baskol? And as you all know, Chazal have told us there's certain people that they have a sensitivity to picking up in this Baskol, women, children, shoitim, lunatics. There are people that have a certain, and that's not making anybody, you know, feel bad. There's a certain type of sensitivity that a person is able to pick up on this frequency of a bas kol, in the same category, chachamim. Are in the same category. Chachamim are able to pick up on this frequency. So children, chachamim, they need a mishigana, is that because a shaita is somebody that doesn't have any, he's not stuck in a certain way of thinking. So he has a clearer, his mind is all over the place, but he's not stuck on something. So therefore, he's always open to hearing something new. Children also, right? A child, one kid can say to the next kid, "You're my best friend," and then another kid's listening. So, but 10 minutes ago, you told me I was your best friend, and he meant it. But adults, of course, carry a lot of baggage. So as adults, we're stuck in certain thoughts, and because of that, our minds are very cluttered with old stuff. It's like a phone that you never ever take anything off. So our minds have lots of stuff. And as a result of that, we're not as open to hearing new things. So what Rav Tzadik is explaining is that there is necha tishmani, your ears can hear things that are spoken to you. Hashem speaks to us through a baskol. A baskol means an echo. It's really how Tosfos learns in Sanhedrin. A baskol is an echo, which means it sounds like it's a different voice, but it's the same voice. So if you go to a place where you can get an echo, like some kind of an area or a mountain or a valley, whatever, where it's mukhshar to hear an echo. So you can't really do that in the city. It's not going to happen. If you yell out in the city and someone's yelling back, it means you probably should run. Right? It's not an echo. It's not you. It means it's somebody else. You better get out of there. But if you're in a place where there could be an echo, if you're in a place where there's an echo, so you say hello, it comes back, hello. So my students told me from Iran, from Persia, that there's a certain place in Persia that used to go on a Tiulim where you get 7 echoes coming back. As you say hello, you get 7 hellos. It's that place, that's a certain place there that they remember telling, they told me about it. But it sounds, when an echo means it sounds like it's a separate voice. It's hello. You said hello, and then there's another hello. So there's some other voice, but it sounds like it's something separate, but it's called a baskol. A baskol means it's a daughter of a voice. So when Chazal tell us that adayim ishtamshim bebaskol, that means we don't hear Hashem speaking to us in that first hello, but we can, certain people are more sensitive to hearing the echo of that. And just to give an example, like Absalom does speak about this, an example, you find, for instance, everybody knows the story how with Mordechai and Mordechai and Esther and what happened in Shushan. And Haman went to hear what the kids were learning in Cheder, right? And Mordechai also went to hear Pesach L'Pesukecha, right? So Mordechai says to the kids, what did you learn in Cheder today? What were you learning? So the kid says, Utsu Eitzah V'Sufar, right? W'W'Yokum. Haman asked, and they got, but Utsu Eitzah V'Sufar means that even though the Goyim conspire against us, our enemies are trying to kill us, Mordechai was all excited about that. Haman saw, oh, we're in big trouble, right? So what does this kid know? The Torah says, the kid doesn't know anything. Hashem is speaking through the children in Cheder. And therefore, we have certain stories, like you have in the Yerushalmi and Shabbos, that you have the Chachamim were walking in the Shuk, and that these two tzaddikim were walking in the Shuk, and they hear two people arguing over something in the market. And they were hambling in the market. And what is saying? Listen, you know that there's a war that's coming up, and they would hear in these things the voice of Hashem. No, we don't know how to read these things exactly. The Chachamim, you know, knew how to pick up on these frequencies. But the important thing is that Hashem is constantly speaking to us. We just are not necessarily hearing that. We're not hearing the bas kol. So there is a bas kol that can be heard. In other words, we're able to look at when the tzaddikim say to look at our lives, and Hashem is being merames to us. There are ramazim in our lives. Of course, we can often misread them because we have certain, as I said before, because our minds are cluttered with certain things. So you could get a terribly wrong reading because of something you thought that meant, or you interpret it in the wrong way. So when Chazal were talking about children that they have, or women, or chachamim, so there are people who are predisposed that they're open to something different, they're open to something new. And because of that, Hashem's voice can be heard more distinctly through those mediums than in other ways. But that doesn't mean that we can't make terrible mistakes. But that's what he's talking about. A person who lives with his bodhis is tuned into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like he's on that station. He lives on that station to hear the ramazim from Hashem. To hear the ramazim. Sometimes it's very obvious. And most of the time it's not so obvious. But to be able to be tuned into that station of how Hashem is speaking to me through my children, through things that are happening in my life, and to be able to read them, in a healthy way, the way that Hashem is intended for you. Hashem is speaking to us all the time. But two people can hear the same thing and interpret them completely differently. They'll just hear it totally differently. One person will get it right, and Hashem is nodding, and he's like, that's what I meant. And the other person gets it wrong, and Hashem says, nah, it's not at all what I meant. And that's the bechir that we have, to read these things the wrong way or the right way. And we have to daven that we should have siyat d'shmaya to read them the right way, right? So you could hear, something happened to you that day, and you could interpret that in a terrible way that's completely against the way that Hashem wanted you to interpret it. Or you could try to interpret, or you in his bar, you ask Hashem, you say, Rabbi Shalom, this and this happened to me today. You know, my boss said this to me today. This is what my boss said to me. I was offhand. I was very hurt by what the boss said. It hurt me. I'm asking you, Rabbi Shalom, help me to hear this in the way that you want me to hear. I don't care what the boss meant. Help me. You're talking to me because everything in my life is your way of talking to me. So I don't understand because it hurt me the way I understood it. It hurt me. What did you mean by that? And help me to understand this the right way. It could mean that you're telling me it's time to get on to a new job. Get away from this guy. You know, it's time to move on in your life. Instead of being abused for another 20 years by this horrible person. So help me to interpret the ramazim that you're sending my way. I know that you're constantly being meramis things to me. Why did I hear this shmooze? Hashem wants us to be better people. So, Hashem diba tarv al Yisrael. So, if you go to hear a shiur, and you hear something in the shiur that is causing you to feel further from Hashem, Hashem didn't want you to hear that. He didn't want you to interpret that way. It could be he wanted you to interpret it in such a way to say, "This is not the kind of a shiur I should ever go to again the rest of my life. This person is not for me, because it causes me to have all kinds of confusion," or I can hear another part of that shiur, or even what he said in that, even that sentence that until now was bothering me, but I could think about it more. What does Hashem want me to hear? Hashem certainly wants him to become better from the shiur. There's no such thing that Hashem wants us to get messed up by a shiur. That couldn't be. Hashem wants us to get better by learning Torah. He wants us to get close to him by learning Torah. So, if your kid has a Rebbe and that Rebbe is taking your kid further away from Torah, it's a problem. It's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants our children to get closer to him, and he wants us to get closer to him. So we have to try to understand. It's hard with children. We have to try to understand what can I take from this year? And maybe there's some other things in this year that I should not think about because it's just, I don't hear it the right way. And it's causing me to feel very, very negative about Yiddishkeit, to feel negative about Hashem. So it's a little bit complicated, but But we do believe that Hashem is speaking to us. But Hashem doesn't speak to us any way of Nevi'im, in a way of Nevu'ah. He speaks to us with a baskol. It's an echo. It doesn't sound like it's Hashem. It sounds like it's a separate voice, but it's really Hashem. So when Mordechai said to the little boy, "What do you learn? What do you learn in yeshiva?" And the little boy said, "What do you learn?" So Mordechai said, "Ah, well, Hashem is telling us to hang on. It's going to be okay."
Yeah. And that makes sense why Yaakov refers to the Sar Shel Esav and Esav himself as Elokim. Like I saw Elokim.
Yeah, yeah. Because Hashem speaks to us even through confrontations in our lives. But we have to. It takes a strong mind and to be able to draw out what Hashem diber tov is. Hashem is constantly telling us good things. Constantly telling us good things. Now, the good thing might be something that we don't want to hear. You could be saying, Hashem could be saying something good like, you know, this behavior of yours is terrible. It's going to kill you, right? So you have a guy, let's say, that's addicted to alcohol. And then he's walking back from work and you see some, like, alcoholic lying on the ground in a place where you never expected to see some alcoholic. You know, the old joke is like he would turn to this guy and say, "Where'd you get that? It's good stuff. Where'd you get it?" Right? That would be a horrible way to respond to seeing an alcoholic lying on the ground. That, could you tell me where you got your stuff? Or do you have any left over? That would be terrible. That's clearly not what Hashem wants of you. He would want you to hear from this a message like, "This is this what you want with your life? Look at this. This is what's going to happen to you. This is what's going to happen to you." But Hashem is constantly telling us good things. We might be uncomfortable with them. A lot of times you'll go to a shir, and the Rebbe or the Mara, whoever it is, the lady or the man, is giving a shir and saying something which is very important for you to hear. But you're not ready for it because all the stuff that you're cluttered with, and you can come away with a very negative thing. I told this to you. I always give this as an example. I've mentioned this many times over the years. I remember it was once Tu B'Shvat. I was speaking in Detroit on Tu B'Shvat. I remember it was freezing cold. And so I was talking there for a cure of organization, and it was a room filled with people who were mostly not affiliated, knew very little. And I think this was for Or Samech at the time that I was talking, and I was talking about Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is like one of the most pleasant subjects you could talk about, because it's all about growing and enjoying the fruits of your labor, right? It's Tu B'Shvat Torah is gewaldig. It's gewaldig. So I was talking about Tu B'Shvat. I was talking about Tu B'Shvat Torah, you know, Chassidus and Avoda and Tu B'Shvat. And after, at the end of this year, there's a question and answer. That's what they like to do. So it's question and answer. So yes. So there's a lady that has her hands. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "But how do you explain the that every morning I heard that Orthodox men make a blessing that they weren't made into a that I'm not a woman." So I'm thinking, what's wrong with the saying? So I'm talking to her about apples and pears, and she's asking about a kasha from Shlazan Yish. See, this is bothering her. This is bothering her. And there was an older man there that asked me a question about the Holocaust. So I said, "I'll talk to you about it afterwards." She was a survivor. Right? This is a long time ago, and he was a survivor, and this is bothering him. She's talking about growing. What he's saying is, I can't grow. My growth was stunted by Hitler, actually. Okay. I get that, but I'm talking about Tu B'Shvat. This guy's hearing like Auschwitz and Treblinka, right? I'm talking about Ashkedia Zarachat, Hashem Ashkedia Parachat, this guy Hashem Zarachat, Tu B'Shvat Igia, and he's asking about Nazis. Because he's got a one-track mind. Which we all get. He's got a one-track mind. And she's got that other mind. So this bothers her that God doesn't like women. Because if God liked women, then the rabbis wouldn't make such a blessing that Shalosh and Yisha. She's all upset about Shalosh and Yisha. Also, I said, "Let me talk to you a little bit afterwards." We get the whole conversation with the group about, you know, these things. But why does that happen? Because instead of picking up on the frequency of something positive and growing and something like very happy and optimistic, which is Tu B'Shvat, each one is cluttered, this stuff, and you just take that and you pick up that voice and it gets all distorted. The voice that's coming from Hashem through the teacher, through the Rebbe, through that Shia, through whatever that Torah was, the Sfas Emes or Apsadik, that Torah gets like twisted. And you see people do that all the time. Since I'm doing this for so many years, you know, the kinds of questions by a Shia that you know this is autobiographical. In other words, you're asking me a question, so I'm almost embarrassed. It's like, we'll talk about that afterwards. You know, it's about your life, but it's not at all about what I said. But what I said triggered something. It triggered a perverse interpretation that was just the echo that of his own mind, of his own hurt, injured, whatever it is, mind. And then the question is, everybody else in the room sees it's like doesn't seem to be related at all to the subject. It's totally unrelated. This happens all the time. Over the years, thousands of times this has happened. And you get, so if you get panels, I hate being on the panels because there's always going to be a few people that just want to talk. Right? So it's supposed to be like the rabbi sitting at this panel. You know, I have some Shabbaton somewhere and I don't like to say no, so you sit at the panel. There's supposed to be somebody that's moderating the panel, right? There's like this job. It's a horrible job and to moderate. And then someone stands up in the back. Yes, so-and-so. So wonderful. The person who's living a life of his boat of this is that it's a constant awareness of Hashem's presence and asking Hashem every day in his boat of this, Hashem, I know you're talking to me through my kids, through my friends, through the things that I saw today. Why did I say it? I'm asking, I'm begging you, help me to understand what are you trying to tell me? Because I don't get it. I don't understand this. So I don't speak that language. I don't understand what you're telling me. Help me to learn from this because I know that Hashem Diba Tova yourself. Because I know you're trying to help me. I know you're trying to help me. But I don't read it that way. This is a very big part of our Avodas Hashem. It's a very big part of this whole way of thinking, of looking at everything in life as being Hashgacha Pratis. Why did this happen to me? Why did it happen to me? So, you know, you can miss your train, you can miss your bus, you can say, God hates me. There are people that do that. If anything that doesn't go right that day, the boss call is telling me that God hates me. And Hashem is saying, I'm Amish, that's not it. I'm telling you that I love you. And you hear, you have kids like that too. But you're trying to tell your kid how much you love the kid, and the kid's only hearing, I hate you. You have that. Good, why? Because this kid got messed up somehow. And because of that, as much as the parents tried to give love to this kid, the kid only hears, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. The parents are the ones that say, I hate you, I don't hate you, I love you. That's not what you know. And the kid has a whole misreading of his life with his parents. It's a whole misreading. It's a completely twisted and distorted reading. Because something happened to that child, that his way of thinking was damaged by somebody else or whatever happened to him, and his way of thinking is damaged. So every single thing that his parents tell him, he only hears something bad. And the mother's saying, I never meant that. I never meant to say that to you. I love you. I'm trying to help you. Because no, the kid has a whole pill pull in what mom said. No, I didn't mean that at all. I didn't mean that at all. And This is something which, when a person lives in his bodidus, he says, a person lives every single day of his life believing that Hashem is constantly broadcasting to him. Hashem is constantly sending him messages, Eich l'hiskarev Eilav, how to get closer to him. Eich l'hiskarev Eilav, constantly. And we have to daven that we should hear them. We should understand them. Shezehu Yishuv Adas HaAmiti. which is Yishuv Adas, I mean, to live in that way of thinking, to live with that way of thinking, and to ask Hashem for help to understand what are you speaking to me, what are you saying to me, how you, to understand how is it that you're helping me. That's the Yishuv Adas Ha'amiti. That's true Yishuv Adas. That's true Yishuv Adas. Not to be bechlal nispal from what people say. That's really what Rosh Schwartz is talking about in the first shmuz that he gave on Bitochen, of the that your instinctive way of hearing something is a way of Hashgacha Pratis and Hashem, not what that person meant or how that person doesn't like you and to get all upset and so, or when something happens to you. That it's to come to a place where a person instinctively hears Hashem speaking in a way that's positive. Again, positive doesn't always mean that everything is perfect. It means that he's telling you, I would like you to do better in this area, which is also positive. Now, Hashem never says, I hate you. Hashem never says, boy, am I going to give it to you. Hashem is saying, I would like you to think about this. It's something I think you're ready to work on. For sure Hashem says that. And a person has to be ready to receive that and to be able to hear that. So we learned from the very beginning of the Sefer that the best place to look for how we could daven and to get an idea of how to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Bardus is by spending a lot of time going through and davening up Tfilas and Rabbi Nelson's Likutei Tfilas. Everybody should have Likutei Tfilas and to use Likutei Tfilas as much as possible. Not only in terms of a way of davening, but also as a way of learning how to daven. Likutei Tfilas is very important. So Rabbi Nelson says in one of the Tfilas the following, Va'an va'omer l'navshi. Rabbi Nelson says, I want to talk to myself. L'navshi, va'an va'omer l'navshi. I'm speaking to myself, to my nefesh. Zocha al tishkach she'esh al medasi. I'm speaking to my own soul and saying, Zocha al tishkach, remember. Don't forget, she'esh alma da'asi, that there's a world after this world. This is not it. Ve'ein shum kviyas bezecha olam. And there's no kviyas in this world. There's no kviyas in this world. I was asking him once during the whole time during the COVID thing, so I was having this conversation with somebody who was very, very, very extreme and being frightened and worried and nervous. So I asked her, what are you so nervous about? What she was doing was all kinds of strange on August. So I said, so what are you so nervous about? And not to see anybody, talk to anybody, mom was like, no. So what are you so nervous about? I'm nervous that I'm going to catch COVID. So I said, then what happens if you get COVID? This person happened to be in her 30s. And I said, well, so it was really a little bit further on in the COVID. It wasn't, we didn't know, it was a little bit further. So what happens if you get COVID? So she said, I can get sick. I said, so what happens if you get sick? So she said, people are dying. I might die. So I said, so what happens if you die? She looked at me like I was absolutely crazy. She said, what do you mean what happens? So what happens if you die? What are you so afraid of? So what happens? So you die. So what happens if you die? What are you afraid of dying so much? What's the pachad? What's the pachad? So, we're learning a little bit about this. We just started this in the, we're talking a little bit about this in one of the shmuzim from Rosh Hashanah that we're doing, the pnimiyas. The pachad of mav is that fear of death. Where does it come from? We saw so much of that during that tekufa. Where does that come from? So when are you going to die? So what's going to happen? So you'll be together, Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have Mercedes and Bobbies, whatever. You'll be by a dish of a dish. What are you so afraid of? Was he so nervous about dying? I mean, it sounds crazy, but if you think about it, like what is the with the unknown? What's unknown? We have the Sfarim tell us. Person's afraid, but maybe then they'll say, well, maybe I'm going to go to a bad place. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Where are they taking me? I don't know what I'm but Rav Nelson is saying, biggest Simchas Chaim comes, and the biggest Yeshiva does, and Menuchas Nefesh comes, Davka, from not being afraid of Mavis. Because the thing that people, the deepest fear that people have in their lives is dying. And if there is a way to overcome that fear of death, then a person has a Simchas Chaim. So, he has Yeshiva Das, Simchas Chaim. So, Rav Nosson is saying, remember that there's a world to come. It's not to, to get depressed or be afraid. This is not a world of kvias. There's nothing certain in this world. There's no kvias in this world. Nobody knows what's going to be from one day to the next. There's no kvias. Because this world passes like the blink of an eye. Like we say in the davening and the sanatokif, like a cloud, like a piece of dust, it's gone. And like a dream, it passes. That's what this world is. The ikka place that a person is going to live is not in this world, it's the next world. Not in this world. So Rav Nosson is saying to himself, have rachmanis, who shmuras as he current hate and hold on to this thought. Remember this, that this is not it. This is not the tachlis, what we're living in. Shetizka tamid b'chol yom ba'almad asi b'latishka. Remember every day that, remember the almad asi and b'latishka, and don't forget. B'hidabeg mashavtucha ba'almad asi, and attach your thought to that almad asi, to the world to come. You know, we don't know what that is like, what it looks like. We have stories of tzaddikim, and we have teachings from the Svarim and so on and so forth, what that is. Most of the things that we heard when we were growing up are not accurate or exaggerated this way or that way. But again, Hashem Dibur Torah Yisrael, everything that Hashem does for us is l'tov. So even if a person, Chalila, after this world has to go through something, It's all l'tayv. Everything that Hashem does is l'tayv. Nothing that Hashem does is not l'tayv. Everything is l'tayv. V'hidabing mashavduch be'almadasi v'al yozu zikron almadasi mirai yinecha. And don't let this thought of the next world, don't let it leave your mind. Istakal atzmucha heitev heitev. Look at yourself carefully. Yeshev daituch be'emes la'amita. And have true yeshev adas. Zechor v'tein l'libcha. Think about what's going to be with you after all of this. When your end comes, it'll be very quick. No matter how old the person feels, I don't know what happened. Where did all the years go? This happened very quickly. Remember, Rav Nosson's talking to himself. And he's saying, I feel so bad for you. Hakitza achi. Mishnas, Mishinas, Pityoscha, wake up from this sleep, of this delusional sleep that you're in. Chamol al nafshecha, and have rachmanis on yourself. Zachar es berecha, bimei b'chor esach. And remember, the one who created you while you still have the ability to change, while you're still young enough and you're able to change, but you're not completely stuck and lost in your old habits. Like that's from, of course from Kahalas. And look at the halachas, and Rabbi Nosson writes, look at the halachas. Shekadei lichyas b'yifanalik hazeh. In order to live in this way, where you always remember the Almad Asi, tzirichin l'umayit sifrei Musa, sh'nisiyasadu al-pidivir rabbeseinu zal b'gmar medrashim, al-pitzadiki emes. You have to learn this farm that are built upon Chazal and the true tzadikim. Ki kol sifrei Musa hamitiyam. He's not speaking about the later Musa movement. He's talking about the earlier Sifrei Musa, like Mesil Shasharim, Reishis Chachma, and so on. He calls Sifrei Musa Amitim Maskiun es Tachlis Olam Haba. Because all of the true Musa Svarim help a person to live with this thought of the Tachlis of Olam Haba. Again, Shvichin is Baidid B'chal Yom, and a person, Rabbi Nosson says, should have his Baidus, if possible, every day. And to speak this out. Hashem, help me to remember that my tachlis is not in this world. Help me to remember always that the tachlis is the next world. And that every single thing that I think about, that I speak about, that I do in this world is as Ashpa and what's going to be with me in the next world. Ki onu b'nei Yisrael, I'm sorry, ki ledibri yesh koch otzum lahaskir alodim es tachlis, because speaking about something has a tremendous, tremendous power, a tremendous impact to help a person to remember his tachlis. Ki onu b'nei Yisrael enker chen ele b'peh. Because the ikar koch that a Jew has is with his words, speaking. V'anovi omar, ki mi dedabri v'azach v'azkerenu. The Navi says that when I speak about something, I remember it. If you don't speak about something, it's much easier to forget. Even, you know, when you're studying for a test, if you speak it out, you remember it better. That's how it is. Remez l'dovar, umar sh'amru zocher b'peh. Zocher b'peh, when you remember by saying something. As I was just saying, we see this, that when a person reviews what he learned, he doesn't just think about what he learned, but he actually says it over. And he reviews what he learned, and he speaks it over. That's how he's able to remember what he learned. Okay, and therefore, it's not enough just to think about the tachlis. A person should speak about the tachlis. And the main time to speak about the tachlis is during his bodhis. There's rogel b'chol yom l'dabar b'peh mole, to speak about this very openly. What's going to be the tachlis of my life? What's going to be with this life? Where does this take me when it comes to olam haba? My present life, what's the tachlis of all of this? What's the point of what I'm doing with my life? What significance, what meaning, what bearing does my behavior have on my life in the next world? What nitzchius, what is it? Is there any eternal value to what I did today, how I spent my day, what I spoke about today, what I looked at today, what I'm thinking about today? Was there any nitzchius, was there any tachlis? So tachlis and nitzchius. Even if a person doesn't say any lashon hara, it could be he spends an entire day talking about Narishkeit, silly things, talking about, you know. I grew up the way that it was in my house is that, again, it's a little bit intense. I don't want you to get the wrong impression of my father was a tzaddik, but there were conversations that were like a little bit just going into stam talking. It was that very clear look from my father. But at the Shabbos table somewhere else, my father just looked and we just stopped talking. And that was it. He wasn't angry. He just gave a look. And the look was like it pained him that the people that he loves are wasting their time talking about such an Irish guy. And there were a few times I remember he would say, it was the tachlis. What are you talking about? It's the tachlis. What are you talking about? This? And I don't remember him talking stam diburim. I can't remember if I think about it, if I mean it. That I don't. It's not long ago. I don't remember talking stam diburim ba'alma. It's not diburim. It's not what people talk about. And when it was something like when it was something that had to do with politics, it had to do something with Jews, and not Stam. And even then, he was different from the rest of his chaverim. Even they were talking outside of shul or something. My father was usually quiet. He very rarely spoke. And if he said something, then the rest of chaver would like listen to it, because he was careful with what he said. And it wasn't because my father never learned Shemesh Aloshin in his life. And I didn't see it in the house. We didn't have the Sefer Shemesh Aloshin. Because my father said that they knew, he heard that the Chavetz Chaim, hungry, they heard the Chavetz Chaim's Ne'elich. That's what he knew about the Chavetz Chaim. He never learned Shemesh Aloshin. But he was, stam, not to say things, the Diburim, stam, to talk. The Diburim, stam, sorry, to talk about things, to talk about things that don't mean anything. It's not tachlis to the Diburim. Person pays more attention to his Diburim. Pay more attention to it, to talking, not just whether it's Lashon HaRachilis. That's already something that we're talking about Isurim. But even starting to talk about things that are not necessary to talk about. Again, the Chavetz Chaim is very talkative. And of course, when a person needs chizik or to make conversation, to give a person chizik or to be friendly, of course, but stam diburim, not things, it's not tachlis. What's the tachlis? And it's a good thing for a person to ask himself a few times during the day. Of course, in his bodhis, in the whole state of his bodhis, is just much more effective. But even during the course of a day, to say to oneself, what's going to be? What's the tachlis of this? What's the tachlis? Can you imagine you're sitting around, there's a whole chevet, whatever, talking about all kinds of stuff. And I'm not recommending anybody does this, because you're not going to have any friends. But imagine you just stop, everybody's talking about this and talking about that. Stam diburim. And you say, listen, chevet, what's the tachlis? You know, you're not getting invited to the next, But really, it needs to be said. But no one wants to say that. Either because they would never think about that, or if you're thinking about it, you don't want to be like the odd man out. But to just stop this and to say, what's the tachlis of this? What's the tachlis? Imagine a person's watching nowadays, there's so many communications that are going around every day with clips that are being sent around and then this one's commentary, and then you have all the, can you imagine you have these chat groups, right? So there's a chat, and all the people are talking about what my kid did this day, and the kid missed the bus, and the other kid has a horrible teacher, and this one has this, and this one has that. And you have one person sends out a big thing that says, Chever, what's the tachlis? What's the tachlis? Off the chat. Why are you doing that? Like, who, what? Yeah. It's a good question. What's the tachlis? You can go on your phone and look at these things and go down and see 1,000 back and forth, a question mark, exclamation mark, different colors, right? You look on the thing. And then at the bottom of it, right, sum total, sacha kol. What is it? Shtuyot. I'm not talking about important things going with them. It's just most of these things with chats. Sachar kol. Ma ha-tachlit. What's the tachlis of all this? What's the tachlis of all of these? Look at the whole day. It could be hundreds of things in a day. All the different back and forth. Like it used to be in the cartoons you had back, Now it's on your own phone. You have like cartoons. And you see all the different things. This one. Right? And of course, you always have to respond. So I mean, I find this to be the biggest challenge. Well, no, it's a challenge. When people have such nice intentions and they send me something, the Dvar Torah that they heard, or they send me a clip that they like, and I have to write back, this is Gavaldik, or wow, or a thumbs up. And I look back over the day and I said to my wife, what's the tachlis? Another day like this with answering back all these things. Being part of that, I'm not in any chats, but being part of that whole shakalataya of silliness, of this one thinks and that one, and thumbs up or a smiley, or send some kind of thing, at least you could save a few deburim if you put out a picture, so it would be easier. Yeah, those emojis are good because you can just have to say, this is so upsetting to me. It's already using a few words, you could just have somebody crying. But if you think about it, it's unprecedented waste of life. I'm not even talking about things that are awesome. What's the tachlis? What if everybody in the chat, we recover upon themselves that they have an assignment? You divide the chat and have every week that there is not Shabbos, but we have Moshe Shabbos, so 7 people who are on duty that week, that every single day one of them sends out a message, what's the tachlis? So that at least someplace in the, I don't know what's called, the thread, is that right? Mm-hmm. The thread, at least someplace along the line, you can look back and there was one voice that said, what's the tachlis? And to look back and to remind yourself of the Almadasi, there's no tachlis to this. Spending our lives with these things in our hands, playing these silly things. What's the tachlis? What's the tachlis? And I'm not talking about technology. I'm not talking about God should be looking at bad things. That's a whole separate parish. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about stop. What's the tachlis? What's the tachlis of all of this? What are we going to take from all of these things to the Almadasi? What do we take to the next world from all of these things? It's not going to be embarrassing to come. Imagine a person has to come like with a truckload of all kinds of bags, with all of these threads, and to empty out. Wow. Oh, your kid is so cute. Like we have to empty that out and say, this is what you spent your whole life. Look at all this stuff. Back and forth, the chakra that I hours and hours of diburim, sisters talking to each other, brothers and sisters, cousins chat, best friends chat, the shul chats, the yeshiva chats, whatever these chats are. What's the tachlis? The almadaz, the world to come. What's the tachlis? And even, and you can make a frum, you put in a religious word here and there, it still doesn't make into a tachlis. Just because you put every now and then, you put in a Jewish thing, it doesn't make into a tachlis. Just think of like if the Chofetz Chaim or the Kuska, the Chassam Sofer, they would see such dibur. Go on, like people talk about these things in chat. It's Maya Tachlis and Menilam Hab. Maya Sofi. What's gonna be the end of all of this? What's the tachlis of all of this? Chibasi Hine Haina, like a boy has a shalom bizarre. Did I come here to settle in permanently? I have so much time that I could spend half of my life playing these games. Do I have so much time? I don't know how much time I have. Nobody knows how much time they have. We don't have a kviyas in this world. Ain't shum davar kavur. There's no kviyas. You just imagine that you have a kviyas because you figure you got up yesterday morning, you're going to get up tomorrow morning. There's no kviyas in this world. There's no kviyas. And the tzaddikim, you know, it's like it says in the Mishnah. So they live with that thought constantly. I don't know what's going to be. So I have to try to imagine, not in a morbid way. I'm just going to talk about the next parak a little bit, that Indian. Not in a bad way. Think, Kielu, this is my last day. So is this important, my life? The person doesn't know. Ki im lahachin atzmai. Lamadasi, I'm not saying help me to prepare myself for the Lamadasi, that every day of my life should be spent by way of preparing for that journey, for that trip. We have to remember, like Reb Nachman speaks about the whole second Torah, that Dibur, speaking and davening, is the main weapon that a Jew has to do tshuva, to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the koch of our diburim, we could change mamish. We could change everything in our lives. We could turn around. A person can change from ra to toiv. That's really what Nosson is talking about. Okay, Rez Hashem, next week we'll begin Tarek Chavdal.